Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Ryder Cup week. Oh my goodness. One of my favorite weeks to talk about golf is the Ryder Cup week. And I want to get into a few things here on the Hank Haney Podcast, brought to you by Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. If you got aches and pains, go to voodoopainrelief.com and help your arthritis out, help your sore back, your sore knees, your elbows, your wrists, whatever it is. Try my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream for free. Get a free two-week supply at voodoopainrelief.com, and you will be feeling better. So go there and check it out. All right, Ryder Cup, a lot to talk about, potential pairings, and I also want to talk to you about why the U.S. is so incredibly favored in this event. It is not even close. This should be an absolute walk-away U.S. victory. I mean, this, let me tell you, this will be an absolute walk-away for the U.S. First, they're playing at home. They've got the hometown Go USA crowd, and that crowd has gotten, you know, more boisterous over the years. It used to be, it was no big deal when you went to the Ryder Cup in the United States because U.S. always won the Ryder Cup. And people would just kind of go there and just sit there, you know, and watch and, you know, clap. And it wasn't a big deal. And then Europe started winning all the Ryder Cups. And by the way, they've won 9 out of the last 12. And the crowds over in Europe got so into it. And, you know, and now the U.S. is like taking a little personal and the fans are taking a little personal. So they're becoming more boisterous and things are, you know, there is a little bit. There's not the home field advantage that there is in Europe, but there's definitely a home field advantage in the United States. And another thing that gives you a home field advantage is that the captain, which is Steve Stricker, you know, and all the assistant captains, Freddie Couples, Phil Mickelson, I don't know who else they got. I'm sure they got Furyk and Davis Love and, you know, and I mean, they got like so many captains. But anyway, all the captains get to, well, the main captain, Stricker. But he's going to ask everybody else what they think. They get to set up the golf course like they want it. Now, this was a big deal at the last Ryder Cup in 2018 when they played over in France because they set up that golf course really, really tight. And it was kind of against our team because we were all bombers and we had never played the course before. And they had played the course in a European tour event, so they had a big advantage. And then, you know, they put the pins in places that, you know, statistically or whatever gave the Europeans a better advantage. But now we can do all that. So and I'm sure we will. And we're, you know, playing at Whistling Straits, although I don't know if that's, you know, if you're going to pick a golf course to go play, you'd probably pick Hazeltine, where we just romped them up in Minnesota. When U.S. won 17-11. That was like a slaughter. And that course totally favored us because you could just kind of just bombs away. And that was really good for the U.S. team. I don't know if you can go bombs away at Whistling Straits. Although, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be set up like it is for a PGA. So maybe they don't have the rough up and you could just, you know, maybe you can go bombs away. We'll find out. We'll find out when the whole thing starts. But the difference in these two teams is so incredibly startling. I have a way of looking at the Ryder Cup. Okay? And what I do is, it's really simple. I take the world ranking. I start with this. Now, there's other things I look at, and I'm going to take you through all that. But I take the world ranking of every player on the U.S. team and every player on the European team. I add up the world ranking totals, and I divide by 12, and I get my average world ranking. And then I just look at it and I compare. Now, it's 18 holes. Anything can happen in 18 holes. But I'm just saying, in most cases, you know, you got to figure in horses for courses and how they've been playing recently. But when you take the number one player in the world And he's playing against, I don't know, anybody. If he's playing against anybody else, he's going to be favored. You know, Vegas is going to favor the number one player in the world. You know, you take somebody that's ranked 63rd, like Bernd Wiesberger, who's on the European team. He's ranked 63rd in the world. He could play anybody on the U.S. team, and he's going to be the underdog. The worst player on the U.S. team is Scottie Scheffler at 21st in the world. I mean, check this out. Dustin Johnson, second in the world. Colin Morikawa, third in the world. Patrick Cantlay, fourth in the world. Xander Schauffele, fifth in the world. Justin Thomas, sixth in the world. Bryson DeChambeau, seventh in the world. Tony Finau, ninth in the world. Brooks Koepka, 10th in the world. Harris English, who won three times this year, 11th in the world. Jordan Spieth, who came out of nowhere from 82nd in the world to 13th, which means he's way better than 13th in the world at this point. He's 13th in the world, Jordan Spieth. Daniel Berger, 16th, and Scottie Scheffler, 21st. You want to add that up? Add it up. You got 107 spots in the world rankings, and you divide that by 12, the average, this is absolutely incredible. I've never seen numbers like this because I do this all the time. The average world ranking of the U.S. players on the Ryder Cup team are 8.91. And you can bet that Scottie Scheffler is not playing every match. And he's 21st in the world. He's the worst ranked player on the U.S. team. They could have had Patrick Reed. It's, you know, would have been even lower than 8.91. I mean, that's just unbelievable. That's the average world ranking. Okay, now look. Now I want you to listen to the European team. John Rahm's first. Okay, great. Next top player, Victor Hovland, 14th in the world. Rory McIlroy, 15th in the world. Tyrrell Hatton, 19th in the world. Paul Casey, 24th. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 27th. Tommy Fleetwood, 37th. Sergio Garcia, 43rd. Shane Lowry, I put him out of order. Shane Lowry, 42nd. Ian Poulter, 50th. And Bernd Wiesberger, 63rd. The average world ranking for the European Ryder Cup team, which includes the number one player in the world, John Rahm, is 30.83. This should be, and most likely will be, and probably will be, an absolute slaughter. At Hazeltine, when the U.S. team trounced them, I think the average world rankings were something like, you know, 12 to, you know, 25 or something. It's 8.91 U.S. average world ranking to 30.83 European. This will be another, you know, 17-11 Ryder Cup. Maybe worse than that. 16.5, 17 to 16.5 to 11.5, 17-11, something like that. 17, I mean, it's going to be a slaughter. Europe has won 9 out of the last 12 Ryder Cups. They've won 4 out of the last 6. They've won 7 out of the last 9. The whole tide is going to change because the U.S. team is so dominant right now in golf. It's just not even close. And that's with Rahm as number one in the world. It's not even close. Europe is on such a downward slide. I mean, they really are. That this is going to be just an absolute slaughter of an event. They want it to be close. You know, NBC wants it to be close, so everybody will, you know, be glued in on Sunday, which they're not going to be anyways because they're going to be watching the NFL, especially if it's, you know, U.S. is up by a bunch of points, which they may not be, but they don't have to be. All the U.S. has to do is win a few points. I mean, literally. I mean, they got, you know, there's, you know, they're going to play, you know, all the matches. They're going to play eight matches on Thursday or on, you know, Thursday or Friday and Saturday. 8 matches on Friday and Saturday, and then they got the 12 matches on Sunday. So they got a total of 28 points. So 8, 8, and 12. You know, they go 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and then 12 matches. All you, of those 8 matches on Friday and Saturday, 8 matches each day, 16 points. I mean, U.S. has to just win a few points. You know, 8 points a day, the U.S. has to win like 3 points one day and 3.5 points another day to win. They'll win because they're going to slaughter them in singles. It's not even going to be close. So if they just win a few points, but they're going to win more than that. It's going to be a really big beating. And you know what happens? Here's what really happens. Europe knows that they are so outmatched that they'll be, you know, they're rah-rah Ryder Cup, so they'll be into it. But if this thing doesn't get off to a good start for them, you know, like we're talking about like the first day, and even after the first day, they'll be okay. But let's say the first day and the next morning, I mean, even the first day and the next 9 holes on Saturday, if this thing is trending towards, you know, the other direction, then what happens is like the U.S. team just totally loosens up. The European team knows that they're, you know, it's just, this is not happening. And then it's just, you know, one team's playing loose, one team's playing like just to get it over with. And that's how you end up with, you know, these lopsided scores, which, by the way, the last 3 Ryder Cups, 17.5 to 10.5 Europe, that was in France, 17 to 11 in Minnesota, U.S., and then 16.5, 11.5 in Scotland. Then the last 3 Ryder Cups have been awful, awful in terms of competitiveness. Now they'll try to, you know, make you think on Sunday there's a chance. And the way golf goes, you know, I mean, you know, you'll see a lot of matches that are, you know, 1-up and 2-up. And you think, well, this guy could come back. And, you know, but they're not going to run the table. It's not going to happen. The last time we had a good Ryder Cup was 2012 at Medina. 14.5, 13.5 Europe wins. Before that, the time before that over in Wales, it was 14.5, 13.5 Europe. So that was 2010. It's a long time. You know, this is going to be 4 Ryder Cups in a row where it's not even competitive. Not even competitive. U.S. is going to kill them. Not even. I'll give you some more logic on that when I come back. But remember to visit HaneyUniversity.com. Catch all my information on my teaching, my lessons that you can sign up for if you are interested in a golf lesson from me. I am coming out of retirement, and I am going to start teaching again in October, and I am looking forward to helping some amateur golfers who want to play better golf. I don't care how your game is. It makes no difference to me. You know what? I've worked with them all, and frankly, I enjoy helping anybody who wants to get better golf. That's it. I don't care. I don't care what your game currently is. I will help you get better. If you have tried lessons, and you know what, like I tell people say, oh, I've taken a lesson. I say, you never taken a lesson from me. Because if you take a lesson from me, you will get better. That is an absolute positive 100% guarantee. That is a guarantee for sure. So go to HaneyUniversity.com and check it out, and also register for my free instructional videos. If you are interested in those, you can sign up for free and you'll get those in your email box. So go there and check it out, HaneyUniversity.com. All right, more logic on why the U.S. is going to trounce Europe in the Ryder Cup. Let's just look at it individually. Let's think of Las Vegas. They don't get any of this wrong. I mean, they know how to make odds, okay? Europe, in 12 singles matches, Europe will be the favorite in one match. John Rahm will be favored against whoever he plays against from the U.S. team, whoever he plays against. The other 11 matches, the U.S. will be favored in at least 9 of those matches. Like, okay, maybe you could put somebody up against Scottie Scheffler. Like, let's say, you know, well, if Rahm plays Scottie Scheffler, and it's just random, you know, when they put, what they do is they put the list together for singles on Sunday. It's a terrible system they use. It's just a, you know, write them down on a piece of paper and you write yours down on a piece of paper and let's, you know, whoever you wrote down as number one plays number one and whoever you wrote down as number 12 plays number 12. It's just a terrible system. It's so archaic. It's just the President's Cup, as much as I hate the President's Cup, it's a much better system because they alternate. You pick out, okay, who you want to play, and then the other team picks out who they want to put against the guy. This is all blind thing. And you kind of guess, I wonder if they're going to put their best players out first, they're going to put their best players out last. You know, where are they going to put Rahm? Where are they going to put Rory? You know, where's the U.S. going to? It doesn't matter who the U.S. puts out there. Their team is so good, it doesn't even matter. But let's just say Rahm played Scheffler. If that was the case, then there's only two other matches, two other players on Europe's team, which would be Hovland at 14th in the world and Rory McIlroy at 15th in the world. They're the only players that could maybe be favored over Daniel Berger, who's 16th in the world. And I've got to tell you, if it's Daniel Berger against Victor Hovland, give me Daniel Berger. The guy's a bulldog. I mean, Hovland's a great player, but head-to-head, give me Daniel Berger. So the only other match they could be favored in is if you take Rory against, I don't know, you know, I'd put Rory over, you know, Harris English. I'd put Rory over Berger. I'd put Rory over, you know, Finau. I mean, it'd be close, but I wouldn't put Rory over anybody else on the U.S. team. Rory's 15th in the world right now. So the U.S. is going to be favored in at least 9 matches, but maybe I can't wait to see the pairings go up on Saturday night and see what the Vegas odds are. There's a good chance the U.S. is going to be favored in 10 or 11 matches. I mean, there's no, it, and you know what? Hey, it's 18 holes, and crazy things could happen, and a bunch of these guys could lose. But I mean, come on, how many times do you know? You got 12 football games, and underdogs win in 10 of them? No, not going to happen. And some of these are big underdogs. I mean, I'm talking huge underdogs. Because the average world ranking for a U.S. player in the Ryder Cup is 8.91, and the average ranking for the European Ryder Cup player is 30.83. This is not even close. And I'll give you some more logic on this. Look at how these players are trending. Okay, last year Dustin Johnson was number one in the world. He's number two now. So he's. His game has dropped off a little bit. He's gone from 1 to 2. He hadn't dropped off that much. He's gone from 1 to 2. He hadn't played as good this year, but he's gone from 1 to 2. Colin Morikawa has gone from 7th in the world last year to 3rd this year. He's gotten better. And he's got an open championship, too. Patrick Cantlay went from 9th in the world to 4th in the world. He won 4 times this year. Schauffele went from 8th in the world to 5th in the world. Every one of these guys is getting better. Okay, Justin Thomas, no. He went from 3rd in the world to 6th in the world. He's dropped off. He's dropped off 3 spots. DeChambeau's dropped off 2 spots. He's gone from 5th in the world to 7th in the world. All right, a little drop off, not a big one. Finau's gone from 19th in the world to 9th. He's gotten better. Brooks Koepka's gone from 12th to 10th. He's gotten better. He's gotten healthier. He's gotten better. Harris English's gone from 28th in the world to 11th. Jordan Spieth's gone from 82nd in the world to 13th. Scottie Scheffler's gone from 31st in the world to 21st. Daniel Berger's dropped off. He's gone from 13th to 16th. The worst drop-off of any player on the U.S. team is 3 spots. 3. And there's only 2 of those guys that have done that. The same logic I'm going to give you for the European Ryder Cup team. Tyrrell Hatton last year was 10th. He's 19th now. Rory was 4th last year. He's 15th now. Tommy Fleetwood was 17th last year. He's 37th now. Matthew Fitzpatrick was 16th last year. He's 27th now. Shane Lowry was 33rd last year. He's 42nd now. Bernd Wiesberger was 40th last year, and now he's 63rd. That's like 9 players on their team. Rahm's gone from 2 to 1. Hovland's 14th last year, 14th this year. Paul Casey's 24th last year, 24th this year. And Westwood is 36th last year. He's gotten to 35th this year. They've only had 2 players that have improved their world ranking. Lee Westwood, 1 spot, and John Rahm, 1 spot. Everybody else is trending in the opposite direction. So not only is the European team's average world ranking 30.83, they're all headed in the wrong direction in the last year. They're not as good of players as they were a year ago. They are so far the underdogs in this Ryder Cup. It's not even close. This is going to be an absolute crushing that the U.S. is going to put on them at Whistling Straits. You can take that one to the bank. You'll have to pay a lot of money to buy that bet, though, because the odds are going to be huge for the U.S. favored for this one, for sure. All right. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Can't wait to watch the Ryder Cup. It's going to be great. At least it'll be great for a little while. Then it'll probably be not even close. That's my prediction. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed it. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we will talk to you later on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.